Hey guys, I want to welcome back Yukon River Knives as a sponsor for the month of December. Yukon River Knives exists to support missions work in rural Alaska by providing outdoor enthusiasts with premium quality knives. A portion of every purchase goes to helping advance the gospel in rural areas in Alaska. Featuring both handmade and high-quality production knives, Yukon River Knives has curated some of the finest and most useful knives on the market. Go check out their products at yukonriverknives.com and enter Shepherd's Crook at purchase for a 15% discount. Hey guys, I have one of these knives personally, and I've been using it this year for hunting season, and it's done a phenomenal job. These are going to make perfect Christmas gifts. You're not going to be disappointed. Go check it out. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. The Shepherd's Crook exists to provide care, counsel, and resources for pastors. You can get more information at theshepherdscrook.co. My name is Jared Sparks, and I'm a pastor coming alongside other pastors, reminding them of the chief pastor. Hello, and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. I hope you guys are all doing well today. We're going to get into some dicey waters today. We're going to talk about modesty. And specifically, I want to train you pastors a little bit on how to think through this and how to talk about this. And I'm working this out myself. Fortunately, at our church, we have not had issues with ladies dealing with this sin propensity of immodesty. We have a very modest church. And so I'm so thankful for the caliber of ladies that God has given us within our congregation. So this hasn't been a major issue within our church. It really hasn't been at all. We've not had to have sit-down conversations with husbands and wives, or even have our ladies go and talk to other ladies. So I've been so thankful that this has not been a major issue. However, it really is difficult to talk about these things as pastors. And so I want to give you a little bit of wisdom and counsel. And just, I'm thinking out loud here, and I've worked through this and done the work on this side of things to write out some notes for you that I think will be helpful. But first, I want to remind you of Yukon River Knives. For this whole month, you can still get the 15% off discount code. And if you want a knife that's going to be a legacy knife that's going to last you for a lifetime, hunting season after hunting season after hunting season, you'll get to pass that down to your grandson or your great-grandson, and then they'll be able to use that knife for the long haul. I mean, this thing is built to last. These knives are really great knives. You can follow the links in the show notes, and you can pick one up. So let's talk about modesty. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help and trust that He's going to give it. Father, we just thank You so much for this time. We ask for blessing upon this conversation. And Father, I pray for a two-way grace here. I pray that You'd help me as I'm working through this to be gracious with people who are thinking through these things and have been thinking through these things and want to honor You with their bodies, both men and women. And then also for those listening in, I pray that they would be just gracious to me as well as I'm trying to work through this. And some of these things can be difficult to talk about. It doesn't have to be. So help us to just want to honor You in our reception of Your word and in thinking through these principles. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a word on modesty. I read about 6 months ago, 8 months ago now, The Public Undressing of America by Jeff Pollard. And I thought it had some really good points, but then I also thought it had some eisegesis and really weak points. In fact, in its biblical analysis, I thought that was the weakest points that were made within the book. The historical analysis was some very interesting observations that I thought were quite helpful, but I thought the book really weak, really lacked some clear definitions and some, even though there was appealing to Isaiah chapter 47, which we'll look at here in just a minute. And I just thought there was some weakness to the book. And I read it and it was interesting, like I said, but there could have been more there. And I think there's a better way to go about talking about modesty than the way he does, talking about knee to shoulder. I don't think the biblical analysis comes to those conclusions that he comes to. And I think there was a lot put into that book and those texts that aren't necessarily there. So I'm going to explain, because modesty is an issue and dressing immodesty is an issue within every church and every era to some degree, lesser or greater. And there's going to be these sin propensities within women in particular to want to be looked at and to dress themselves in a way that brings attention to their bodies. Not exclusive to women, but primarily to women. So we will speak to both men and women here in just a minute. But I think there is a better way. And so I want to talk about that and hopefully bring some clarity to the discussion. But why is this so difficult, Pastor, to talk about? Why is it that this particular issue on modesty, when the Bible is full of warnings, specifically in the New Testament, about dressing immodestly? I mean, we could just do a quick modesty search. It's 1 Timothy 2:9. Likewise, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly attire. Their adornment shouldn't be external, but it should be internal, as other passages talk about as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 20. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to come back to that. You were bought with a price. We don't want to misuse our bodies because Jesus owns our bodies. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Likewise, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. I mean, this is, we already quoted 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, don't let your adorning be external. So you could go down to 1 Timothy again, 1 Peter. So, I mean, these passages are really clear that modesty is an issue, and the specific command is going to women. So it's important, but it's avoided. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. And so I think there are some reasons. Number one, why is it so hard to talk about? Number one is because feminism is permeated everywhere, and you just don't talk to women anymore about what they should or shouldn't do, even if it's God who has said it, because it makes people nervous. It makes people angry, and you know, women are just free to do whatever they want to do, and so you just don't want to talk about it. And to talk about men, talk to men about modesty and what they do with their bodies is weird as well, just because it's just weird. So I think it's avoided for several reasons, but primarily we live in a culture where your body is just, it's not intended to be to the Lord and to your spouse or saved for your spouse. It's intended to be an object to project to everyone. So like this, everyone look at me. We live in a very narcissistic world, and that has implications in how we dress. We want attention to come to our bodies, especially if we've been working on them. So that's a big issue. Number two, the fear of legalism. How many pastors avoid talking about modesty because you're like, where's the line? And there also, the question is always like, not where's the line towards how much modesty is too much modesty, or it's always how much can I show kind of thing. Or when am I bringing attention to myself? When am I not bringing my attention to myself? It's just a difficult conversation to have because you don't want to be legalistic. I mean, nobody wants to be legalistic. And yet it's easy to do that as you're trying to seek wisdom principles in life. It is easy to not just get the charge of being legalistic, but it is easy also to be legalistic as you're trying to seek out wisdom on these principles. And so I think grace is required, certainly, in the discussion towards one another in the body of Christ who may come down the line here with a little bit different applications of some of the things that I'm talking about. Number three, I think the reason it's avoided is because pastors just don't know how to talk about it. It's just, I don't know how. I don't know how to talk about it to, what if there's a lady at our church dressing inappropriately, what do I do? Do I send my wife to talk to her? Do I talk to her husband? Do I talk to her father? And certainly, yeah, there's a yes, all of the above to some of these things. If there's immodest dressing, it needs to be addressed immediately. And so a easy principle is, yes, you do. You send your wife, go talk to her. If it's a daughter of somebody, you go immediately talk to the dad and say, hey, you need to stop this. But we have to have some principles why. You just can't say, hey, she's dressed immodestly, she's showing off her body. You have to know, okay, well, why? What is the definitions here? And what are some principles here that we can go by? But it's difficult to know how to do this, how to have this conversation. And then number four is just avoidance. Pastors, it's easy to avoid topics that we know are going to be controversial, isn't it? I mean, even to do this episode, I'm thinking, okay, I want to think through, and like I said, the people of our church are going to be really gracious as they hear this, but people out there in the Twitter source, I mean, in the internet world, they're going to hear this and think, Jeff Pollard's away. I've got dear friends that really love the public undressing of America and think, yep, I believe that, and I agree with that, and Isaiah chapter 47 is a cut, dry, closed cased, don't uncover the thigh, that's nakedness, kind of thing. And so there's going to be accusations, and you just got to, again, like, people are going to come to some different conclusions, but it's fear. I just don't want to talk about it because I don't want to disagree with people that I respect or love, so we just avoid it, okay? So we do need some biblical guidance. First, I want to go to the passage that several people go to, and like I said, many of my friends go to, and it's from Isaiah chapter 47. And here's what it says. Come down and sit in the dust, virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, daughter of Chaldea. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind mill. Remove your veil, strip off your robe, uncover your legs, pass through the waters. Your nakedness shall be uncovered, and your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and spare no one. From this passage, the King James Version says, uncover your thigh, not your legs. Every other version I've looked at says legs. And there is some debate about what that exactly means. But the passage itself includes not just uncovering your legs, but it also includes stripping off a veil, stripping off your robe, and passing through waters. And so even as you're passing through waters, your nakedness shall be uncovered. So the passage is saying something, but is it a binding passage defining nakedness across the board down throughout the history of the church, that anyone who ever uncovers their knee is walking around in nakedness or uncovers any part of their thigh is uncovered and naked. It also says strip off your robe and uncover your or rip off your veil as well. This passage, specifically taking this passage and making it a universal definition of nakedness, I think is a stretch. I think that's eisegesis. I really do. I don't think it's a conclusive, cut, dry case. Look, let's write a book about it. Here's what nakedness is. And therefore, across the board throughout the New Testament and throughout every single generation and every single culture and society, any uncovering of the knee is nakedness. I don't think that passage is saying that. I just don't. You can read it for yourself, check it out and study it out. However, in Genesis chapter 1, we do have something that is declared nakedness, and we have something in this passage that's something like modern-day swimsuits or just some sort of covering that that Adam and Eve covered up with that was called a loincloth. And I want you to see this from verse 7 in chapter 3 down through verse 11. Here's what it says. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together, and they covered some aspect of their body. They realized they were naked. Oh, we should cover this, okay? It doesn't say explicitly, but most likely we're talking about Eve covering breasts and front area and butt, and Adam covering his junk and his butt in that area around the middle portion of their body, the private parts. That's what we're assuming, okay? Well, at this point, they have the sewed together fig leaves. They have some sort of covering on them. But they're walking in the garden, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Remember, they're hiding themselves, but they're already covered with the fig leaves, okay? They're already covered to some degree. In verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said to him, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Adam said, even though he was covered to some degree with leaves, that he was still naked. "And I hid myself." He said, this is God, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you not to eat?" Who told you that you're naked? This is God agreeing that there is, even though some aspects of the body parts, there is a nakedness still that is it's still nakedness, some sort of covering and still nakedness. I would think this would be the equivalent of a bikini or something like that, or a dude running around in like a Speedo, just a basic Speedo. This is still nakedness, covering. There's some sort of covering, but it's still naked. So we understand then that there is something to this nakedness of having clothes on or having some sort of covering and yet still being called naked. That's really clear. But still, I think we need some greater clarity and some principles to be thinking through. And so here's what I'm going to bring you to. Okay, I'm going to bring you to 1 Corinthians. And this is, again, big picture here of why do we want to cover our bodies and why do we want to give our bodies to one person in this lifetime? And why is it that we should want to avoid dressing in such a way that brings attention to our bodies, specifically to private parts? So why is it that we want to have wisdom with this and avoid, you know, we already looked at some of the passages saying that modesty is a deal and it's addressing women, so it's going to be primarily a feminine sin, but again, not explicitly a feminine sin. You can see that on the internet or whatever it may be, where some of the body transformation videos, and some of these are very, very inspiring, but still there's attention being brought to the body. And you just need to be thinking through some of these things to wonder, okay, why is it that we want to do this? Why is it that we want to, when our bodies belong to the Lord, what we're going to see here in a second, and they belong to our spouse, what are we doing this for with our body? Okay, here's what verse 18 in chapter 6 says in 1 Corinthians, "Flee sexual immorality. Every other person's sin is a person commits is outside of the body, but sexual immorality, the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." Your bodies belong to your master, Jesus. This is critical to understand in this discussion. First and foremost, we do not live in a world where I am my own master. We do not live in such a way like the world does, where it's me first. What I want to do goes first. We are called to live sacrificial lives. That's what love is all about. And we're called to deny ourselves. This is what God has called us to do. and so we want to honor the Lord in our bodies because our bodies belong to Him. And then in chapter 7, right after this, it goes right into a conversation on marriage. Here's what it says. Now, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Now, get this. Think about ownership. Who do our bodies belong to? God first. Then verse 3, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband, for the wife does not have authority over her own body. Oh my gosh. But the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body. And everybody freaks out. But the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps for an agreement for a limited time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again quickly, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Bodies are bought by Jesus. So Christian men and women belong to him. So we want to honor God with this thing, with here. This also would include things like how we take care of our bodies physically. We want to honor the Lord in how we take care of our bodies physically. But then our bodies belong to our spouse, husband, wife. This is who God has given each other to express sexual intimacy with. Not with any sort of sexual immoral outlet, but with our wives, with our husbands, if you're ladies listening in. Our bodies belong to one another. Here's the big question about modesty. Okay, generally speaking, here's how it works. Men like looking at and struggle with the sin of looking at female bodies. There's a tendency to want to look. There's a pull. There's a reason why there was a book written, Every Man's Battle, because men are very visual. You guys know this. This is why overwhelmingly, men look at pornography more than women. This is not exclusive, or the numbers I know have been rising and evening out. And then ladies like to be looked at. There is this desire within them, and that's why this feminine sin of immodesty is written to so much in the New Testament, is because ladies have this desire from the inside out to be externalizing their beauty and having that be the primary thing that people see and observe, external beauty, rather than internal beauty. So adornment is warned against. External adornment is warned against. Therefore, we have to think, why, when we're putting clothes on, ladies, when you're putting clothes on, who is that for? Are you wanting the attention of other people? And you might not even think like, no, this is just comfortable. I'm just walking around out here. But the question has to be asked, your body belongs to Jesus. And God has given you a husband, or if you're not married yet, God will give you maybe one day a husband, or he has given you brothers in Christ at the church. And your body is not given to you. You don't have this kind of ownership of your body to dress in any way that you want to dress. I think this principle, or these clear teachings in the scripture, are very important to this discussion. Your body doesn't belong to you. You don't get to express it in any way and show it in any way. There should be this sacredness about what it means to have a body, a physical body. Therefore, there should be the desire to cover that and give it and express your body in the right sort of way. And we see that clearly with sexuality. It's to be given to your spouse that you're married to. Okay, so let's just think a few things here in light of these big picture truths about who we belong to. We belong to God first and then to our spouse or one day spouse. So let's get some wisdom and try to apply some basic principles from this. And this might be seen as legalistic or whatever, but again, we're asking to give grace here both ways. So ladies first and then men, because this is a sin propensity that's going to be more common to ladies. First, cover your breasts, cover your boobs. It's not that big of a deal to cover. If for those that are like, oh, well, I want my boobs and cleavage to show, the question is, but you belong to Jesus and to your husband or your future husband. Why do you want the attention or the eyes? Why do you want that to happen? So you cover them, cover your breasts. How about your butt and your vagina? Why do you want, okay, I don't want to be crude or anything like that, but when it comes to spandex, there's a good right way to wear spandex like there is with pantyhose. It's weird talking about these words and stuff, but you still bring coverings over it. If your butt is sticking out and your front side is sticking out and it's just easy to see, why are you giving those images to other people that aren't, what's the point? Why are you doing that? You say, well, it's comfortable. All right, we'll pull some shorts over that. Cover your body and don't draw attention to those body parts. There's no reason to. Let your husband see those body parts. Give the best of your body to your husband and not to other people out there. And it's like, why is this controversial? It shouldn't be that controversial. Don't show off your breast, your butt, or your front side. It's not that hard. Cover yourself. Don't draw attention to your bodies with what you wear. Your husbands are enough. Right? I mean, again, it's not that hard. The question with swimsuits and bikinis, I think it's real easy. I mean, it shouldn't be wearing bikinis. Here's the thing. Those aspects of your body, okay, cleavage, you know, barely having anything over your front side and your butt, that is for your husband. Like, again, we live in a day where that's just common. It's normal. And the pushback was, well, I want to wear it. But, well, why? Wouldn't you? Why is there such strong pushback to say that bikinis are immodest? What's the deal? Like, what's the big deal? I don't really get it, honestly. And if you're like, it is a big deal, I want to wear a bikini, you better check yourself, ladies, because there's warnings all over the scriptures of external adornment. And again, I'm not trying to. Anytime you say you apply wisdom principles, people are like, yeah, you're open to the charge of legalism, whatever. But your husbands are enough. Just cover your bodies, men. And so that's why the discussion needs to be nuanced when it comes to things like tights. People are like, God, don't go out in tights, you know? And it's like, well, maybe. I mean, are there shorts over the tights? Are there pockets on the back? Is it too tight in the front? So again, there's gotta be grace in this, but just cover your private parts. I mean, don't draw unnecessary attention to it. Men, your bodies also belong to God and to your wife. So I've been working out, right? I've been working out. And I could have a mini body transformation video. And some of those, like I said, I have some friends that have done a really good job of doing this and being modest along the way and attempting to be modest along the way. And everybody's going to have to check themselves on this as well. But men, I mean, if you're around other dudes, it doesn't matter. I mean, Peter was stripped for work. You can, you know, it's no big deal, whatever. But around other ladies, if you're working out a lot and you're looking forward to taking your shirt off and everybody's seeing, you know, your new abs or your body, or you're always taking, you know, pictures of your body and showing it to everywhere, well, your body belongs to Jesus and your body belongs to your wife. So there's not really any reason for you to not, for you to uncover yourself, draw attention. People say, well, what does that mean, shirt on or shirt off? I wear a shirt now. I've switched after the public undressing of America. Read that book and I have switched. I do wear a shirt on when I swim. And you may say, well, that's fine for a guy to not wear a shirt on. But here's the deal, dudes. You know this. If you're taking your shirt off and wanting the eyes or the attention of these ladies that are around you, well, then you probably shouldn't take your shirt off. If you're not, then there's, you know, again, there's some liberty here as we give grace to one another. So the whole point in this is this shouldn't be a discussion that is fearful, because I think one of the main reasons why people are afraid to have this is they're just scared to death of offending people or upsetting people. But it is an issue. And you look out there and the ladies, again, desire to be looked at and men want to look. And so we've got to be wise and cautious with each other and also take responsibility. Ladies, you're responsible when you're dressing in immodesty. You shouldn't do that. Men, you're responsible if you ever look at a woman lustfully, and you shouldn't do that. And we should be bringing those sins to the Lord and asking for help to overcome those sins. And yet, we're personally responsible, and yet we want to make sure that we do everything we can to not sin in those areas. And so just dress modestly. And you're like, well, what's modestly? Cover your body. Ladies, cover your stuff. And I mean, just cover it. And dudes, the same thing. Walk in wisdom. Okay, guys, I hope this has been helpful. I'm sure that I didn't cover all the bases here, and there's some things that have been left unsaid or not said and teased out enough, but I hope these have been principles enough. You belong to Jesus and you belong to your spouse. Don't be living and dressing for other people out there to show off your bodies. Cover yourself. Hope you have a great rest of your day. If you've not subscribed yet, please subscribe, share. And if you're watching on Gab, if you want to support the channel, you certainly can. If you're listening on your iTunes, leave a rating or review. That would be really helpful. And if you want to support the show and the work, you can do that. Reach out to me and I'll give you ways to be able to do that. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.